Is it possible, and this is my most important question, I ask for everybody though, is it possible to keep contact with God and actually communicate with Him and get an answer on a regular, but that you really make this contact and it won't go away again, not only one aha moment once in your lifetime, but really have this contact, and how can we do it?
Okay, is she asked, is it possible to have this contact all the time? Yes, it is. The Christ illustrated that was true. He had the contact all the time. And it was like, he didn't say, aha, I see this, like like we may. But he saw it all the time because he had the connecting link. And all his centers were in alignment and open. And your centers are the opening or the key to this, because you have many different petals in the various centers. And they open one by one from the base of the spine. We have four petals down there that open up. And then they begin to light up the others. And you have the one for physical creation. And then you have the emotional one here. And they all begin to open up. And as the higher ones open up, then the power to have those aha moments begin to materialize. And as more and more of the centers open up, and as we accept the energies that come into our life, we get more and more connected. Until all the centers are open up and in alignment, then you are connected all the time. So it's, and Jesus says, whatsoever you ask, you can receive. But to ask and receive immediately, you have to achieve that degree of advancement. And it takes many lifetimes overall. So what we have to do is look at where we are. One of the problems a lot of people have is they want to be where they are not. If you're climbing a ladder, you have to go one step at a time. If you try to go five steps, you'll just fall and have to climb all over again. But so you have to climb one step at a time. But it doesn't matter where you are. If you're actually taking your next step, it will produce a lot of joy in your life, a lot of happiness and a feeling of accomplishment. It doesn't matter where you are. What matters is taking the next step. And one of the problems people have is a lot of people with a strong ego, which one thing I like about this group is your egos seem to be pretty good shape with most of the group here. But with a lot of people have a strong ego. How many people have you met in the New Age movement that think they're on their last life? You know, well, about half of them think they're on their last life. Well, in other words, these guys think they're a lot farther along the path than they are. Most of them have maybe 100 lifetimes to go, at least, before they achieve liberation. So a lot of these guys think they're on the last life or just about there, and they're in total rapture and in tune with the God within. And if you think you're farther ahead than you are, then you're not taking your next step. And these people that aren't taking their next step, even though they're living the glamour of being way an advanced entity, even though they're living in that glamour, it's not bringing them happiness. They get frustrated. When you follow these people's lives, you see a lot of frustration in their life. And the reason they're frustrated, they're not taking their next step. So it's important that we see where we are and that we get back to the parable of Christ. When you're invited to the feast, don't assume that you're the guest of honor. In other words, don't assume you're on your last life. Go to the lower seat. And then if you find out you really belong higher up, it'll be an honor. Okay, so just assume that if you don't know where you are, assume you're a beginner, you know. And then as you're proceeding along, you may have a presence come and say, you're not really a beginner after all. You're really doing pretty good, you know. You've farther along than you thought. And then you'll feel, oh, man, that's really great. But if you assume you're really, really up there, that you're like close to being a master, and then you get the true contact with the God within who tells you, you know, you're just really a beginner. Oh, man, that's a letdown. I thought I was a master, and here I'm just starting. Boy, that's embarrassing. So if you don't know where you are, just assume you're just starting and become as a child so you can enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, anything else?
One question here. You don't have to, I talk louder. Oh, okay. To go back one short question to answer Gail's question about where God's from. What's the name of that town he's from?
Teman?
Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a scripture in the Bible that says God came from, I think, Teman or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll
have to look it up. It's kind of funny that, well, what the scripture is that he was just saying that the presence of God was in a certain location is what it was really saying, but the actual wording is God came from so-and-so. So if you want to say, yeah, I know where God came from, the Bible says he came from Teman or Tenan or something like that. Yeah.
I never heard that.
In Idaho. Yes, in
Idaho. Is anyone in connection with the internet?
T-E-I-M-A-N.
Is anyone on the internet?
For some reason, the book
is
having
33. Oh, what does it say?
Teman? What book?
T-E-M-A-N.
T-E-M-A-N.
So now we know where God came from.
T-E.
Where's that?
What book, Adam?
It's in Idaho.
No, no, what book? What book?
Habakkuk.
Abigail.
Abigail.
Never heard of that.
That's
good. So, Gail, there's your answer.
There's your answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah, James has it right here. You want to read it, James? Well, it's from the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 3. God came from Teman, that's spelled T-E-M-A-N, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, P-A-R-A. So there you know. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran, P-A-R-A-N.
And so it was referring to the Holy One.
Mystery, huh?
I think that was referring to a prophet or something, if I remember right. Yeah.
Is that from the Book of Mormon?
Yeah, that's the Bible.
That's the Bible.
Good old Bible. Tells you right where God came from. He was born in a manger there, I guess. Yeah.
I just wanted to know what is Kolob. There's that one song if you... Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess Kolob would be like the center of the galaxy or something. The center of the galaxy, we have a black hole, and that's the source of the creation of the whole galaxy, and everything revolves around it. So it would sound like that would be where it would be, and there's no night there. And if you're living on a star in the center of the galaxy, and you look up, the stars are so close together, there would be no night. Yeah.
Talk about Kolob in Abraham?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we take your book at its word, he came from 11.
Yeah.
What's that?
If we take your book for it, then he came from 11.
Well, we're talking about two different things.
Right.
The God of the universe and the God with him, gods with whom we deal, are two different things. For instance, the god of this planet is Senat Kemera, or the Ancient of Days. Then we have the god of the solar system, who is the solar logos. And then we have the god of seven constellations. And then we have 49 constellations, the god of that, which is the one about whom naught can be said. Then we have the god of the whole galaxy, whoever that is. Any revelation a prophet has on the earth, he's usually dealing with some entity on the earth that has a link with God. So because he's one with God, he speaks like he's the creator of all things, even though he may be just a representative of the creator. So you never know who we're dealing with, and the prophet could just be dealing with his own inner God, which is connected with the God of the universe also.
Isn't that not giving glory?
What?
Well, these masters who are in the position, who you're not sure who they're working with, they're not giving glory to their first bosses.
Well, if you're one with God, giving glory to God, you're giving glory to God. I mean, if you're one with them. If you're one with God, you're a God.
But like DK, he never says that.
What?
Well, the people who say Sanat Kimura is the God of the planet.
Yeah.
And then there's the God of the...
Yeah, if you're speaking of an individual entity and something he's accomplished, you need to give glory. But if you're speaking of the universal God and you connect up with him and you're one with him and you're speaking for him and you're speaking in his name, then you're speaking for the universal God, and glory automatically goes to the universal God. Yeah. So that's why the prophets, when they say, "Thus saith the Lord," it's just automatically assumed they're giving glory to God.
So it's like there's two gods. There's the chain of command of evolved individuals.
Yeah, and these are called the Elohim. Elohim is the Council of Gods.
Okay, the Council of Gods. So that includes Christ, Senat, and
Solar Logos. Yeah.
And then there's this other God who is the God, the one great life, and the whole entire universe is his body.
Right, but from the way they look at it, it's not the other God, it's we're part of it.
They're one
your mouth says, "I am Larry," but in a way, another way, your mouth is not Larry. But it still says I am Larry, right? Because it's one with you, right? So we are a part of God, and once we realize our oneness, you can speak for God.
So there's two different ways to look at the word God: the Council of Gods, which
right.
are evolved individuals in various
right, and then the one universal spirit. And even Mormons get confused on this because there's certain Mormon scriptures that sounds like God is a universal spirit. Others, it sounds like he's in a physical body. And it's both. Both are correct. Okay, see how much time we got. What time do we have to take off? Okay.
Are we going to do healings before lunch? Or
yeah, or after lunch. Yeah, when we come back, then we'll do regressions and healings and some fun stuff.